Welcome to Friend of Marilyn. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Marilyn, I introduce the show and review some key terms that you need to know. I talk with Marilyn Wan about fat liberation, and I spotlight a blog by Leslie Kinzel from Two Whole Cakes. Thank you for joining me on my first episode. Deciding to do the show was in many ways a long process and in many ways a snap decision. I gave great thought to what I had to offer to the discussions on fat. I considered whether I was prepared to make a commitment to a weekly show. And I reflected on how my show might affect my family, friends, and colleagues. In all of these ways, the decision took some time. At the same time, however, deciding to do the show was a snap decision. My professional work is largely about talking with others, whether through teaching, presenting, publishing, or just chatting in the hallway, about fatness and the obesity myths. When I was asked by Access Manoa 2 to do a show on these issues, I immediately thought, yes! What a great way to introduce more people to fat acceptance and activism. And my head was flooded with the possibilities. I could have discussions with fat activists and scholars from around the world. I could spotlight powerful blog posts from within the fatosphere. I could create a safe space for discussing and promoting fat acceptance and activism. So let's start by defining three key terms: fat acceptance, the fatosphere, and fat activism. Fat acceptance itself is really difficult to define, but what it means for me is embracing fat bodies as a valid representation of the physical form. It means rejecting the negative stereotypes that are often associated with being fat. The fatosphere is an online community of fat-friendly and fat-positive artists, bloggers, scholars, and activists. It is characterized by fat studies listservs, fat-friendly tumblers and blogs, and has a strong presence on Twitter as well. What I value most about the fatosphere is having a community in which I can engage in critical and reflective dialogue. As a fat studies scholar, this is often difficult when the person you are talking to believes your body represents laziness and rising health costs. Fat activism is about engaging in activities that aim to change the world. It's about making the world a better place for fat bodies and for all bodies. Fat activism can include fat-positive blogging, refusing to buy diet books or magazines that promote body hatred, and supporting legislation to make weight and height protected classes under discrimination laws. Fat activism can also be as simple as saying nice things about your body and putting an end to negative body talk. Don't worry if you don't understand these three terms just yet, as we'll keep discussing them throughout the series of the show. Joining me is Marilyn Wan, a fat activist from San Francisco and the author of the book Fatso. Marilyn, thank you so much for being a part of our inaugural show.
Yay, you are so welcome. I am so honored and happy to be here.
Well, I'm ridiculously excited to have you. And as many people probably don't know, the name of the show, Friend of Marilyn, is actually because of you. You were the first person to introduce me through your book and through the work that you do to the concept that just because I'm fat doesn't mean I'm worthless, less than, needing to change, etc. So when I was trying to think of what name I would want to use for the work that I was doing in the fatosphere and now through the show, I thought, you know what, Friend of Marilyn, because that's just what I wanted it to be. So I'm so glad that you're here.
Wow. I am glad to have lots of friends in Marilyn, but you are certainly the first among the friends of Maryland. That is so cool. Love it. What a great name. Awesome.
So because this is the very first show, I think there might be quite a few people listening who don't know what we mean when we use terms like fat acceptance, fat activism. So I thought that'd be a nice conversation for us to have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the words we use to talk about things actually carry a lot of the message. So we have to, when we're questioning mainstream systems, it's really good to check out the words. And I love the F word, fat, you know? I mean, there are just so many reasons why that's powerful. But let's just say it together on the count of three. One, two, three.
Fat.
Oh.
It is a great word, isn't
goodness.
It?
And I love it in part because I was so scared of that word until I was, like, in my late 20s. I was scared of that word, right?
Yeah.
I thought that if I didn't say that word and avoided the topic, I might be safe. And then I wasn't safe. Bad stuff still happened to me based on people judging me for my weight, for being fat. So I decided to come out as a fat person, which is funny, because it's not like you can't see us.
Right. It's not like people don't know.
Fat people are kind of in the closet, right?
Absolutely.
And the way we do that is to say, the fat body that I am right now is not my real me.
Mm.
My real me is in the future, and in the future I will weigh less.
Right.
And so there's this kind of mortgaging of your whole life, right? That you don't really get to live until you're thin, and people put off all these really good things that they could just go ahead and do. I've put off things like when it was hot, I wouldn't wear sleeveless clothing because I thought that if someone saw my upper arms, you know, the world would explode. And then I tried it one day and it was so comfortable and I felt so much less encumbered and nobody died.
Right, and the world didn't end.
Yeah, so I love the word fat. I actually don't say fat acceptance all that much, even though that's kind of what the whole rebel community talks about. I, in part, don't say it because if you say you accept something, it makes it sound maybe a little bit like you wish you could change it, but you can't change it, and so you put up with it. And that's not the way I feel about being fat. I feel like this is my birthright, who I am. And I want to celebrate weight diversity. So I tend to say stuff like celebrating weight diversity or, you know, fat liberation, because I want to liberate all of us from negative messages about fatness. So thin people too. And I'm just really in it for the whole spectrum of people's weights. You know, I don't want anyone to be excluded from equal opportunity in life.
Right, because we know that it's not just about fat people feeling bad about their fat bodies. The social judgments and stereotypes that are placed on bodies really do affect everyone of every size.
Yeah, for sure. And just think of all of the economic growth that we're not getting because people are not doing their lives fully. They're not fully employed in the workplace because they're not respected or valued if they're fat. And those people, their entire talent and their contribution isn't really being realized or allowed to flourish, and we're not getting the benefit of that in society. And that's true for thin people who are spending their days worrying about eating a cracker, and that's true for fat people who are spending their days worrying about eating a cracker instead of going out and doing something amazing that they would be doing if they didn't have that worry. Also, in addition to the human potential and the loss, the economic loss that that represents, I think there's a lot of hating us for our own good, the health argument.
The concern trolls, as we call them
right. Online. Yeah, concern trolls, for sure. And it's a total lie, right? I mean, these people don't care about my health or the health of a fat person. They are enjoying being mean to fat people. And one of the ways they get to be mean to fat people is with this this argument about health, that, you know, they get to say, they get to make basically curses. They get to try to curse us. You know, if they were magicians, they would be saying, I curse you with bad health and short lifespan, right? You know, so they're making all these predictions as if they kind of wish that would come true.
Mm.
And then, you know, I think that there's maybe this fantasy that fat people are lazy gluttons and that we're just sitting around indulging our appetites all the time for food and for not exercising, and so if we're getting away with that lazy gluttony and other people aren't allowed to have that pleasure, I guess that's supposed to be pleasurable, then that's a reason why they're angry at us. And because we do those things, because we're lazy gluttons, we're supposed to be unhealthy. Well, that's just not the case. I mean, there are lazy people and gluttonous people of all different shapes and sizes.
Yep.
And I really like the health at every size approach because it really is a wonderful way to demolish this hating people for their own good health argument, or this excuse for hatred that the health argument creates. And the health at every size approach is super awesome. It's a whole bunch of really amazing medical and psychology experts and fitness experts and nutrition experts who have been completely disillusioned with the traditional weight focus in healthcare and the weight loss goals. And they see those as not meaningful and not helpful. And instead, they encourage people of all sizes to love our bodies, celebrate the diversity of people around us in terms of weight, eat when we're hungry, stop when we're full, try to get, you know, nourishment, not just empty, unnourishing calories, and try to be physically active in ways that are joyful, because if you enjoy something, you're going to keep doing it. So it's like the pleasure principle versus the punishment principle. Mm. The punishment principle is I'm bad because I'm fat, and so I have to be punished with broccoli and treadmill, right?
<Yeah. laughs>
And the pleasure principle is you're awesome. Whatever you weigh, you're awesome. You deserve to take good care of yourself and have fun. So eat what you love and move in a way that you love. So you get broccoli because you love it, and you get yoga or riding your bicycle because you love those things. And when you do something because you feel worthy, your body actually makes better use of that experience than if you do something because you feel bad about yourself. So there's actually scientific literature that says that if you eat food that you're enjoying, you actually get more of the nourishment, the nutrients, out of the food. So so that's the whole health piece. And I think it's really... really a big deal, because that's one of the big excuses for fat hatred. Mm. Another big excuse for fat hatred is the idea that if everybody just behaved properly, then we would all be thin.
Sure, we'd all there'd be one body size.
Right, and we would also all be the same height.
Well, of course, absolutely. Can't have diversity in one and not diversity in the other.
Right. And, you know, people will say, well, in recent years, people have gained weight, you know, and that's true. Populations that have access to food that aren't starving, and populations that have access to antibiotics and vaccines weigh more than populations that don't have access to food and don't have access to modern medicine. And I think that's actually a good thing. So we're taller than we used to be. We weigh a little bit more than we used to be.
We live longer than
we used to be, and we're living longer than we used to live. So I think that's the trend. And for some reason, we're placing all our paranoid fears on fat people, that fat people are going to bring us doom. Maybe it's a way just to ignore global warming. I don't even know. But I don't think it's doing us any good, actually. And this fantasy of turning everyone into exactly the same body type, we've tried that experiment. If our scientists were acting like scientists and not responding to stereotype and prejudice, we would have already said, oh, okay, we did that experiment 15 million times, but way more than that, for decades, right? I mean, in the United States alone, 70 million people are on a diet at any given time, and that's been true for decades. So if there were a weight loss method that produced lasting weight loss, everyone would be thin and there would be no weight loss industry. But the very fact that there's a weight loss industry that gets bigger every year is proof that none of their promises are actually true. So when I started being a fat activist, I would say, the best data shows that every year Americans waste $40 billion on weight loss products. And with that money, we could do all these great things. You know, we could end homelessness. We could feed the hungry,
right?
Ironically. Right?
Yeah.
And this year, I quote the same statistic that Americans waste $58 billion every year trying to lose weight, trying to fit into a smaller size pair of jeans. So even if every person is just making these little weight loss goals for themselves, and they think it's not like a they think it's a good thing. They don't even think of it as a neutral thing. I'm saying it's a harmful thing. It's a costly thing. In the aggregate, all of us doing that all the time is costing our society really seriously. With that amount of money, we could go out and we could end tuberculosis in the entire world. We could be doing really amazing things. So I appreciate that everybody gets to choose what they want to do with their body, but every time you make a weight loss goal, you are investing in a world that judges fat people as being bad.
So
and thin people as being better, you know? And I don't want to guilt anyone, but you can invest in a different world vision.
So for someone who's new to all of these ideas that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
And probably feeling a little overwhelmed, and it is quite disconcerting when you've believed your whole world life that the world was in fact round and someone's suggesting, no, in fact, it's flat.
Or the opposite.
Right.
You were told the world was flat and somebody's saying, hey, the world's round. We all get to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where would you suggest they start? What's a small step that they can take to move this forward?
Well, I think the first step is awareness. The feminists in the 60s talked about consciousness raising, and I think what they're saying is just notice when you're having an experience or seeing something happen and when it participates in the judgment system that fat is bad and thin is good. Just notice. Just be aware. And then when you start to practice awareness, it starts to really build up. You see this stuff all around you all the time. And so then I think if you're feeling angry about that or fearful about that or isolated about that, those are really important, good emotions. That's the right emotion to have in reaction to noticing these things. And use those emotions as an energy supply to see what you can do. Can you think differently? Can you feel differently about it? Can you use your anger to fuel some kind of response? Maybe you talk to people that you know, friends or family or anyone who you think would be useful to talk to. Maybe you can reach out and find some community, either online or in your local setting. Community backup is really important because I feel like if I have two or three people that agree with me, even if it's a really rebellious thing that we're saying and no one else anywhere agrees with us, we can keep going.
Yeah.
You know, we can keep being rebels. So noticing is really important. And then finding a way to express what you're feeling in reaction to noticing the fat hatred in the world. You don't have to isolate and feel depressed and sit with it. You can let it out and let it out in a way that's fun and beautiful and expressive and rebellious. And that may be different for different people. For me, it was writing and making zines and being online and dancing and performing and being public about this stuff. You don't have to be public about it. You can just talk to your friends. You talk to your friends and your friends start to feel like that's the way they think too. And they talk to their friends. That's huge. That's a huge accomplishment. And then community. So that's my first three steps is noticing, expressing, somehow having a response, and then finding community. And just keep repeating those steps as long as you are having fun at it.
Well, that's definitely a great place for all of us to start. So I want to thank you, Marilyn, so much again for coming on our very first show.
Oh, my gosh. So excited to be on Friends of Marilyn. Thank you, Kat. You are so awesome.
Excellent. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Each show, I hope to spotlight something from the fatosphere. In fitting with this week's focus, today I share a piece by Leslie Kinzel of Two Whole Cakes. Two Whole Cakes is a blog dealing in body politics, social justice activism, and pop cultural criticism, usually from a feminist-flavored perspective. The piece, Why the World Needs Fat Acceptance, was initially printed in the summer 2010 body issue of G's Magazine, a Canadian publication dealing with progressive spirituality. The piece won first place opinion piece in the Canadian Church Press Awards, and Leslie recently reprinted the piece on her blog. In the piece, Leslie shares her experiences of discovering fat acceptance and how it shifted her perspective on life and her own fat body. She argues that fat acceptance is for everyone, that we all benefit when we embrace diversity in body size. Leslie writes, "Fat acceptance isn't just for me or just for fat people. Everyone needs fat acceptance because this is a lesson that benefits us all. Fat acceptance doesn't simply advocate in favor of fatness. Fat acceptance is also about rejecting a culture that encourages us to rage and lash out at our bodies, even to hate them, for looking a certain way. It's about setting our own boundaries and knowing ourselves, and ferociously defending the privacy of those choices. It's about promoting the idea that anything you do with your body should come from a place of self-care and self-love, not from guilt and judgment and punishment. It's about demanding that all bodies, no matter their appearance or age or ability, be treated with basic human respect and dignity. That's the world I'd like to build for all of us." Leslie's poignant pleas espouse the very best the fat acceptance movement has to offer. If you find yourself uncomfortable with these ideas, that's okay. It may be even normal. The idea that we should accept our bodies and engage in self-care and self-love instead of self-loathing and self-punishment is a novel one in our culture. But if you find yourself angry at the idea of fat acceptance, ask yourself why. What is it about promoting body diversity and encouraging people to love themselves and their bodies that you find so displeasing? Thank you for joining me on my first show. Tune in weekly on Access Manitou 9:99 a.m. for your dose of fabulous fatness. And feel free to contact the show by emailing friendofmarilyn@aol.com. Closing out today's show is Gossip with Standing in the Way of Control. This is a great song, and you'll notice it provides the show music for Friend of Marilyn.